BBC Audio presents A Complete Guide to British Birds and Their Calls and Song, in which Brett Westwood is joined by BAFTA award-winning producer and naturalist Stephen Moss and wildlife sound recordist Chris Watson.
The sounds of a wonderful dawn chorus recorded here this very morning. Hello and welcome to A Guide to Garden Birds, the first in a new series of five programmes to help you identify many of the birds in your garden at this time of year. Now, as well as helping you sort out your green finches from your mistle thrushes, we'll also be looking at how birds behave and suggesting ways in which you might encourage more birds into your garden. Now, of course, no two gardens are the same, and gardens in different parts of the country are likely to attract different birds. But for this series, we've very kindly been invited to join birdwatcher, writer and broadcaster Stephen Moss in his garden here in the Somerset Levels. Now, Stephen, we've only been sitting here a few minutes, but already we've heard a goldcrest singing away to my right. There's a chiff-chaff. There's a wren very, very loudly singing over there. And you can't ignore the cawing of the rooks in a little rookery a few hundred yards away.
That's right, it's a lovely morning. I mean, this time of year is so wonderful, isn't it? Because even at this time in the morning, long after the dawn chorus, the birds are still singing almost constantly, and they're going to carry on doing that all through the day.
Looking at the garden from where we sit at the top of it, it's, well, it's quite informal, isn't it?
That's a very polite way of saying neglected, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't dream of it.
I love garden birds, but I'm not the world's greatest gardener. The wonderful thing about letting a garden, if you like, go to seed a little, is that, of course, you get even more foliage, bushes at different levels, trees at different levels. We've got more formal lawns, and then we've got an informal lawn that's part of an old cider orchard with old apple trees in. So we've got a whole range of places that the birds can sing from and, of course, feed and nest.
But while this garden has its own character, it isn't all about size.
No, not at all. I mean, the great thing about gardens is that even the smallest garden will attract birds. And most of the birds that we get here are actually birds that I used to get in my garden in suburban West London. There's just more of them here.
Well, not only are we hoping to see and watch birds in your garden, but we're also hoping to hear them. And we're joined for the series by wildlife sound recordist Chris Watson, with what looks like an enormous wok. What on earth is it, Chris?
Well, as well as having fixed microphones around the garden, I've also got this portable device, which is in fact a parabolic reflector, and this can focus the songs and calls of individual birds very clearly directly onto the microphone, so we can really focus in on some of the beautiful songs and calls that we're going to be hearing.
That's wonderful. So this garden is completely wired for sound. There seems to be devices in every tree and bush.
Yes, it's been great over the last few days to go around and mic up different sections and different little pocket habitats.
Well, with the help of Stephen and Chris, I hope we can sort out the blue tits from the great tits and the mistle thrushes from the song thrushes, and of course enjoy a bit of garden bird watching. Now, we begin in this programme with the thrushes, and first up a bird which I think is one of our most beautiful songsters, the blackbird. And Chris, you have a recording which you made earlier today, so let's have a listen. What an evocative sound that is, Stephen, isn't it?
It's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, I think with a blackbird song, you don't so much hear it as feel it, because it's so deep, it's fluty and fruity, is the other word people often apply to it, which I think is lovely. And, of course, it's that way, because this is a woodland bird. Before the days when there were homes and gardens, this is a bird that lived in the dense canopy in our woodlands and forests, and it had to have a song like this so that its mate and rival males could actually hear it.
So this is why maybe when we see blackbirds nowadays, they're always up on the roof or on television aerials.
That's right. And now, of course, that they don't live in the woodland, they live in the suburbs and towns and countryside, and they're sitting up on a roof, and that song carries so far. I often hear a blackbird, and I think it must be on the roof next to me, or perhaps the neighbour's roof, and I look and I see it's half a mile down the road. They're a classic evening songster, the blackbird. Of course, they do sing at dawn, like all the other birds. But often, I remember often coming over when I was a child from school and hearing the blackbird, and it was that one of those first signs of spring, perhaps in February or March.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?